Okay, good morning, everybody. Chanukah Sameach. Very nice to see everybody here. I was away last week. I just flew in last night from New York, but we're up and running and ready to have a share on a very topical issue, which is, I put here, by the way, there's some more sheets being printed. If you don't have a source sheet, then there should be one coming in a minute. I've called it here the downtown Chanukiah. This is something, of course, in Israel, which we're not quite as sensitized to, because Baruch Hashem, there are Chanukiyot everywhere, every house, every front yard, etc. But of course, if you grew up in Chutz Laaretz 40, 50 years ago, you didn't see Chanukiyahs. When I was a kid, there was a Chanukiah inside the house, the curtains were closed, you lit the Chanukiah, and that's what you saw. Now, if you go around all over the world, you'll see 50-foot, 60-foot Chanukiahs all over the place, in town halls, or outside town halls, on cars, in public squares, shopping malls, even in the White House they had the Chanukiah lighting last week, even though it wasn't Chanukiah yet. Okay, you know, everything is Ke'ilu these days, and in 10 Downing Street. So the question is here, what is the origin of this apparently modern Minhag? There is no discussion anywhere in the classic sources, in the Rishonim and the Achronim, there is no discussion of people lighting menorahs in public places. Now, the reason for this is obvious. If you'd have lit a menorah in central Vilna in the mid-1800s, there'd have been one swift and furious response, and it wouldn't have been pleasant. So obviously there's no surprise that there's no discussion about this. There is a discussion about lighting in shul, and we'll talk about that very shortly. The question is, though, what is the status of a modern-day outdoor downtown Chanukiah? Is it a mitzvah? Is it pirtzumei nisa? We'll define that a little bit soon in publicizing the miracle. Is it just a public brocha levatala? Meaning people make a brocha, asher kidushanu b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu, and light these things. Some people make a brocha, we'll see. Is that brocha legitimate or not? Is it a public Kiddush Hashem, or is it not? And as an extension from this, it's now very common when people have parties, weddings, bar mitzvahs, etc. They light a Chanukiah at the wedding, they light a Chanukiah at the party. Very often people might say a brocha on that as well. Is that acceptable, or is that not acceptable? So we'll talk about this, we'll go through the sources, some really fascinating sources as we get through. The modern day phenomenon of the Chanukiah downtown really started in 1974. When the Chabad rabbi down in Philadelphia, Rabbi Avram Shem Tov, lit a Chanukiah underneath the Liberty Bell. That was the beginning of a long history. And the next year there was a large Chanukiah in San Francisco, and they've gone out from there. Chanukiah is made of Lego, Chanukiah is made of ice, you name it. Chanukiahs have been everywhere. And the question is, what is the halachic framework to that? So let's start with source number one. It's good to recap Hilchos Chanukah a little bit on Chanukah. So it's very clear from the Gemara that the mitzvah of lighting a Chanukiah is in the home, is in the bayit. Number one, Tana Rabbanan. Mitzvah Chanukah ner ish ubaito. It is each man for his own home, one candle. V'amahadrin, if you wish to go further and beautify the mitzvah more, ner lekol echad ve'echad. It's one candle for every member of the household, meaning if you have a couple, a father, a mother, and three children, they would light five candles, separate candles on every night, five candles on the first night, five candles on the second night, five candles on the third night. That is the next level up of the mitzvah. V'amahadrin, mena mahadrin, and those who wish to beautify the mitzvah the most, Beit Shammai Yomim, so Beit Shammai say Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona. On the first day of Chanukah you light eight Chanukah candles, Mikan Ve'elich Chuchit Ve'holech, and from then you go down. I'm not getting into Beit Shammai's view now. And Beit Hillel, which of course we follow, Omrim, they say Yom Rishon Madlik Echad. You light one candle on the first night, Mikan Ve'elich Mosif Ve'holech, and from then you go up 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It's not clear from the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim whether that means one Chanukiah for every member of the household. Meaning, does the mum light a Chanukiah, and the child light a Chanukiah, and the sister, and the brother, and everyone goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? Or is it just one Chanukiah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 for the family? Different ways of understanding it. But what is clear for our purposes is that the mitzvah is ner ish ubeitoi. It's a bayit. It's on the house. And this is codified in the Rambam. The Rambam makes it very clear. Number two, Kama Neiros Hu Madlik, how many lights does a person need to light on Hanukkah, B'Hanukkah? Mitzvah Tashi, yeah, this is the mitzvah. Kol Bayit Ubayit Madlik. Kol Bayit Ubayit. Each household has to light, Ner Echad, etc., etc., and he goes on from there. So, it's very clear, if you go over the page, please, it's very clear that the mitzvah is incumbent upon the home. However, there is a second element to this. If you look in number three, the Gemara also then says, Tana Rabbanon, Ner Chanukah, where should the Ner Chanukah be lit? Mitzvah la'anicha al petach beito mibachut. It's in the house, yes, petach beito, but it's not inside the house. It has to be facing outside the house, out on the outer entrance to the house. And Rashi explains mibachut in number three. Mishum pirsumei nisa. He brings in this idea of pirsumei nisa, publicizing the miracle. V'loi merushus haravim, but you don't put it right in the public domain, not in the middle of the town square, because that it has to be in the house. Lo merushus haravim, ela b'chatzera, but in the yard. Meaning we're trying to find a compromise position, which is on the one hand in the house, because it has to be a mitzvah on the house, but on the other hand, somehow facing out of the house into the street, semi-public. Because in those days, says Rashi, the houses looked into a yard, and you put it in the yard outside the house. This idea of pisuminis is fundamental. There has to be an element of publicizing the Chanukah miracle. I brought you a number four, Boy Rava, by Rava, Ner Chanukah and Kiddush Hayom. If you have only enough money to buy Chanukah candles or Kiddush, or wine for Kiddush, which takes priority? Ner Chanukah, it's better you should have candles for Chanukah, Mishum Pirsumei Nisa. The Gemara stresses again and again, Pirsumei Nisa. So where are we left with? A mitzvah in the home, but a mitzvah not inside facing in, but a mitzvah outside the home, but connected to the home facing out. That is where we are, where the mitzvah seems to devolve. Now, you can see from here that the idea of lighting a Chanukiah in the middle of the town hall or the town square is irrelevant, because there is no bias. Nobody lives, there are people who sleep out in the open, but that's not really a bias. It's not really their home. Unfortunately, they're waiting for someone to help them have a real home. So why then do we light in shul? Nobody lives in shul. Why do we light in shul? So there is no mention in the Gemara of lighting in shul, and there is no mention in the Rambam of lighting in shul. Where do we see the mitzvah? So in order to understand the downtown Chanukiah, we need to spend a few minutes looking at lighting in shul. The mitzvah, or the minhag we should see now, is to light in shul is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. Look at number five. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Madlikin umavarchim, we light and we make a bracha bebet haKnesset in shul, mishum pirsumei nisa. Because of pirsumei nisa. Because in order to publicize the miracle. And now, you'll be saying, but one second, nobody lives in the shul. So the Rama immediately jumps in and says, in the Rashi script at the end, Ta'in Adam Yotze B'nei Rosh Obetek Neset. But nobody's Yotze. Nobody actually fulfills any mitzvah by this. But Torech Lachzor Lahadlik B'beiso. You have to go back and light at home. Even the guy whom at the Shamash or whatever, who lights the candle in shul, he has to go home and do it again. Why? Because nobody's Yotze in shul. Good, so nobody's Yotze in shul. So why do I do it? Why do we light in the shul if nobody is Yosef? Just for Pirsumei Nisa, where does that come from? So the Beis Yosef brings two reasons for this, and we'll see in a minute another reason as well, an older reason. The Beis Yosef in number six says the following. Umashikul Shemanichim Nechana Beis HaKnesset. When we write here that we put a Chanukiah in the Beis HaKnesset. So look at the reasons carefully with me, and we'll see if we can understand the reason, we'll work out whether this is going to apply for us in the town hall downtown as well. Number six, in the middle of the first line. Nira, it seems to me. Shetiknu Kain, why did they make this new, this minhag of lighting in shul? Mipnei ha'orchim. Because they were guests. She'ein lahem bayit. They have no home. Lahadlik, or to light in the house. Ukamoshisiknu kiddush bebeis haKnesset. Just like we see there was a mitzvah, there was a takana, I should say, to light, to make kiddush on Shabbos in shul. Mishum orchim da'achlu b'shasu bebeis haKnishta. And he quotes there from the Gemara in Sakhin. V'chein kasef haKalbo. And he says this is what the reason of the Kalbo, which is a sefer from the 12th, 13th century. The 14th century, I beg your pardon, in Spain. The Kolbo is the 14th century in Spain. The Kolbo quotes this reason, there are people living in the shul. Just like we make Kiddush on Friday night, because there are people who were living in the shul on Friday night, they had to hear Kiddush, they would be eating in the shul and sleeping in the shul. Now you and I know that you have to make Kiddush where you eat, Kiddush b'makom sudah. So they ate there, they had a meal in the shul. So too, there are people who are sleeping and eating in the shul, and therefore they have to light Hanukkah candles in the shul. That is the reason for lighting candles in shul. That's the first reason. We'll analyze that reason in a minute. The cause of Oid, and there's a second reason he brings. Oid tamacher. There's a further reason. There's a couple more sheets. Are you bringing some more sheets in? Okay, just put your hand up quickly if you need a sheet. Just one or two over here. Don't forget the nice people on the right wing. Or maybe they're on the left wing, depending on their perspective. Which way you're looking at it. Oh, okay, good. There's a few over here. Yeah, I'll take one here in a second.
It's all right.
Okay. Okay, let's pick it up on the second line, number 6. Because of Oid Tam Acher, Shehu Kidei Lefarsem Hanes. A second unconnected reason, we really want to publicize the miracle as much as possible, Mitnei Kol Ha'am, in front of all the people in a public place, Ulesada HaBrochas Lifneihem. We want to make the brochas in front of them. The brochas are a kind of publicizing of the miracle too, we'll see that soon. Sheyesh v'zeh pirsum gadol. It's a very big public event to send and make a brocha. Everybody likes to make a brocha, you know? To do a mitzvah without making a brocha, it's funny. It feels a bit strange, you know? When you count the Omer and you forget a night and they tell you, you can count for the rest of the Omer but without a brocha. You know, even though you know and I know that the brocha really is a separate thing. The mitzvah is the mitzvah, the brocha is the mitzvah. To do it with a brocha, it has a chen to it. So to do it, says with the bracha in public, it's even greater pirtum in this. Sheyesh v'zeh pirtum gadol, la'Hashem yisbarach. Okay, the kiddush shmoy, the kiddush Hashem. Kishem avarchim atzal b'makelot. When you in a public place, b'makelot in a keilah, if you make a public bracha, that's a big pirtum in it. V'zeh loshen arivash, and then he quotes the rivash, also 14th century in Spain, the tshuva in the tshuva where he says a minag azela hadlik b'beit haknesses minag vatikin hu. Says the rivash in the 14th century, this is already an ancient minag. Now, Vatikin means old, a couple of hundred years old maybe. We'll see soon where it comes from. Mishum Pirsumi needs the cave and she'ain anu yicholen lekaim a mitzvah kitikuna. And now he brings another reason, especially, he says, since already by the 14th century, it's difficult to do the mitzvah in its proper way, lahadlik kol echad bepetach beito, mibachutz, mipnei she'yesh ha'umos takifa. Because already in the 14th century in Spain, things were getting difficult for the Jewish community, and the Hanukkah was gradually moving into the house behind closed doors and closed curtains. So he says, especially nowadays, says the Rivash, when it's very hard for us to do anything, even semi-public, it's nice to do it in a shul. It's a pirsum anais, there's a takana, there's a new minag to do it in the shul. Here you see two different reasons. The Kolbo's reason is, people live in the shul, people eat in the shul, that's their home, so we light there. A second reason is, we need to publicize the miracle, especially since we're not really able to do it properly anymore at home. We can't light outside. This connection between, on the one hand, having to light inside, and on the other hand, wanting to light in shul is a very interesting one. When did we start lighting inside the house? When did the Hanukkah move in behind closed doors? So it's not 100% clear. The Gemara mentions already that in a shasat chak, in a situation of potential pogroms or whatever, so you're allowed to light inside the house. It's not ideal, but it's allowed. The already in the 12th century, I brought you in the footnotes, the Bala Itzer in the 12th century, who was in Provence, he quotes the minhag that some people are lighting already inside the house. He doesn't like it. He says, I don't like it, but people are doing it. It was a rua. In the 13th century in Vienna, it's also writing that it's common to light inside the house. By the 16th century in the Ramah, it was already the standard minhag. People were not lighting in the street. Baruch Hashem, now in the 20th century, the Hanukkahs have come back out to the window, maybe even to the street a little bit in the yard, but back then it wasn't. I remember once in London, many years ago, there was an Israeli came to be the rabbi of one of the shuls in London, and he said, I don't understand, everybody's lighting their Hanukkahs inside the house. People should light them at least in the window or in the street. I said, you know, you can light it in the window. It might not end the way you expected, whatever, we'll see. He lit it in the window. A brick came through the window. Now you understand why people are not lighting in the window as much, but that's a rarity, even in Chutz La'aretz, in many places. And therefore we see that people moved the Chanukiyahs inside and lighting in the shul became very common. The third reason, and we'll analyze all these reasons in a minute, the third reason why they lit in shul is number 7. The Sefer HaManhig. Now the Sefer HaManhig is even older. Number 7 at the bottom of page 2. It's 12th century in Provence as well. So he says as follows. The year Eli, the Ein Chiyuva Bebeit Knesset. There isn't really no obligation to light in shul, Hadlik Nesh, or Hanukkah. Kiyim Bebeit. As we said, only in the house, Sha'adam Darabo. There has to be in a house where somebody lives. Mida Amrin in Kadesh Yitiyah Mezuzah Biyamino. And he quotes the Chazal that says there should be a mezuzah on the right. Ve'ner Hanukkah Mismol, and Ner Hanukkah on the left. Ubeis HaKnesset, potam in mezuzah, and everybody knows that the Beis HaKnesset, really a shul doesn't need a mezuzah. A mezuzah is only for a place where somebody actually physically lives. People don't sleep in shuls, and therefore doesn't need a mezuzah. You see from here, he says, that Hanukkah lights and shuls don't really go together. Only a place with a mezuzah on one side, Hanukkah on the other, but not a shul. Elaim kein yesham bayit beitir. Of course, if someone lives in the shul, that's different. Lechazan Beis HaKnesset, for the someone who's running the shul, sure. But there is a minhag, he says, already about the 12th century to light in shul. Different reason altogether. The nes is in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaOlam in the Oisim, Kamo Keba Mikdash Ma'at. We use our little Mikdash, our shul, our Mikdash Ma'at. The Gola in the Galut, the Farseim HaNes, to publicize the miracle. The Fisha Kulam Mitkapsim Sham. Because everybody is gathered there. So a third reason, which is that this in order to connect us with the Beis HaMikdash and the idea of lighting in the Beis HaMikdash, which was a miracle, so we light in shul. I once heard in the name of Rosh Chodesh Zalman Abach, I don't know if this is true, I didn't research it properly, but one of the reasons he says, people ask, why do we eat donuts? Why do we eat donuts on Hanukkah? You know, when I grew up again, nobody had donuts, they had lakkas. But so here they eat donuts, and now it's become very famous. So one of the things I think it was Rosh Chodesh Zalman said, because we want to be able to make an ala michya davka. Because it says Ba'al Mizbechecha Ba'al Heichalecha. Because the Ala Michya recites specifically a reference to the Beit HaMikdash. So it's nice to say Ba'al Mizbechecha Ba'al Heichalecha. That's another reason if you want to justify to yourself why you're eating so many donuts, you're doing it L'Shem Shamayim to remember the Beit HaMikdash. Very nice. So he brings there this reason. By the way, there is a connection. If it's because of the Beit HaMikdash, then there is a machlokus whether they lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash in the morning as well. There is a machlokus in the Rishonim about this. The Rambam actually rules, I didn't bring this in a source, but I brought it in the footnotes. The Rambam actually rules that the Chanukiah in the Beis HaMikdash, the menorah I should say, in the Beis HaMikdash was also lit in the mornings, not just in the evening, but also in the morning. And this may be the origin of lighting the Chanukiah in shuls in the morning for Shacharis as well. Because there are many shuls where there is such a minhag that they light in the morning, and if indeed it connects with the Beis HaMikdash, then that could be, because there's no reason to light in the morning because of people sleeping in the shul, that's not related, but that might be the reason. In fact, I brought you in the footnote from the Melamed Lahoyer of Ettinger from Germany, he brings, there were two different minhagim in Germany. In Frankfurt am Main, they lit very long candles, he says. I remember from monks in London also, they light very, very long candles. They lit long candles and let them burn through the night into the morning. He said in Berlin, they lit the candles and they put them, snuffed them out. Probably had one of those little snuffers as well. And they lit them again in the morning. Ah, wow. Okay. Remember it was Rabbi Radovitsky Hoffman, no? It was Radovitsky Hoffman, excuse me. I said Rabbi Ettinger, the Radovitsky Hoffman brings down from Frankfurt and Berlin, and his Yortzeit today. Rabbi Ettinger is Yortzeit today. Right. Rabbi Ettinger is Yortzeit today, and Radovitsky Hoffman is the Machaber of the Malamed Lahoyle. Very good. So we see that there is there are minhagim to light in the shul, to light in the evening. We saw three different reasons. Should you make a brocha on that lighting in shul? Go to page 3, please, on the top of the page. So we saw there are three reasons for a given. Number 1, for people who sleep in the shul. Number 2, for Pirsum in Nisa. Number 3, because of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, should we indeed be making a brocha on this? Now, if the reason is because of the people who are sleeping in the shul, today, nobody's sleeping in the shul. So just because they used to have people sleeping in the shul, today should we continue doing something and not even making a bracha on it because they used to do it, but the whole reason for doing it has now gone away? So that's an interesting question because it brings up the whole question of Kiddush as well on Friday night. Because the reason for Kiddush on Friday night in shul is that people used to sleep in the shul. Because otherwise you can't make Kiddush on Friday night. It has to be Kiddush b'makom suda. So now you'll see that there are two different minhagim. Some shuls in Chutz La'aretz mostly do make Kiddush on Friday night, even though there are no people sleeping in the shul, even though that involves a bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbat for no apparent reason. No, it's now become part of the Nusach, that's of the tefillah, we keep on making it. The Beit Yosef, you should know, is very unhappy about it. He's very unhappy, says if there's no one sleeping in the shul, it's like, it's probably a bracha of Atala. And in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is not to say Kiddush on Friday night. Havdalah, yes, on Motzei Shabbat, because you don't need to have people to be eating where there's no dinner of Havdalah b'makom suda. But Kiddush they don't make. As far as I'm aware, the Sfaradim and Chutz La'aretz do not make Kiddush on Friday night. In Shul, I'm not sure 100%, but there are different minhagim and that. So, you know, if we no longer have people sleeping in the Shul for Hanukkah, will we or will we not continue to do that? Maybe yes, maybe no. This also brings in the question as to whether we continue to do things even when the reason has gone away. We gave some shirim on that some time ago. The Rambam has a famous comment where he says that if it was up to him, he'd get rid of Chazaras HaShatz as well in shul, because Chazaras HaShatz, repeating the Shemona Esrei, was for people that weren't able to daven on their own. And now he says that people have a siddur, people can daven, they're more educated, and they have access to siddurim. He says, but you know, what can I do? I can't get rid of it. It's there already. And therefore, that's an interesting question. If the reason was because of the Beit HaMikdash, okay, so that's the reason. And if the reason was because of Pristum and Nisa, so that still applies in the same way. Now, we see already in number 8, the Shibuli Haleket. Shibuli Haleket, who is writing here in the 13th century in Italy, if you look at number 8, he says as follows, V'gam anu noyagim lahadlik b'beit ha-knesset. He also writes, they're lighting in shul. V'lo yadanu shorish v'anaf v'minag hazeh. He says, I really don't know why we do. I don't know why we light in shul. Umori Rabbi Yehuda Achisheni, and he quotes probably his cousin, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Hayanim lima lahadlik. He would try and avoid wherever he could lighting in shul on Hanukkah, lighting Hanukkah candles on shul, so that no one asked him to make a bracha. He doesn't want to get involved. And that's also my view, that you shouldn't be making a bracha on these lightings in shul. If everybody's lighting at home, why on earth would you need to light in shul? If you had people sleeping in the shul, of course you'd need to light in shul. Because a guest is chayv in their chanukah. He's already unhappy about the minhag. The minhag is just evolving at that stage, and he is already saying, I actually don't see any purpose to it. But already, you see by the Shulchan Aruch time, this was mentioned. And if you look here in the Bet Yosef, he makes an interesting point. Why would we make a bracha on lighting in shul? We've seen it's already a bit questionable why we light in shul. Would we make a bracha? Number 9. Mevarchin al zeh kamoshe mevarchin al halel de Rosh Chodesh. So the Bet Yosef says an interesting thing. Look, we make a bracha on halel on Rosh Chodesh. Halel on Rosh Chodesh is not really me'ika hadin. The Gemara says you make halel on certain days. Which days? Chag, Hanukkah. Okay, there are certain days of the year that you make. Doesn't mention Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a minhag to make. What's that?
Because it's
chotzi halel. You make a half halel, etc., etc. But the question is, do we make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh? And you probably noticed there are some people that will not make a bracha on halel and Rosh Chodesh. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef writes, just like we make a bracha on halel and Rosh Chodesh. So if you do that, you can make a bracha on the Hanukkah candles for the minhag as well. Afal pisha eino el minhag, even though Rosh Chodesh is only ever a minhag. Umikol makom ba'oisa hadlacha shel beis knesses, you're not Yosef. It's fine, but you're not Yosef. The problem with this is, what did the Beis Yosef just say? Just like we make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh for halel, on a minhag, so you too can also make a bracha on Ner Hanukkah in shul. The problem is, if you look at what he says about Rosh Chodesh, he says, you shouldn't really make a bracha there either. That's the problem. Look in number 10. The current halal b'diluk, we say half halal on Rosh Chodesh. Ben Yachid Ben Betzibur, an individual at home can say it, so can the shul. V'yesh omrim she'ad tzibur mevarchin alav betchila likroi to halel. There is an opinion that the tzibur should make a brocha, asher kidushan mitzvah sabbat zman likroi to halel, uvetzof yehalalucha, which is what most people do today. V'hayachid ein mevarech alav. The first thing he says is individuals should not be making a brocha on Rosh Chodesh on halel. V'yesh omrim she'af tzibur ein mevarech. And there is a view that even the Sibur shouldn't make a bracha. Lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof. V'zeh das haramba v'chein noegim v'kol Eretz Yisrael v'svivotach. The minhag in Eretz Yisrael says we don't make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh either. And then the Ramah comes in and says v'yeshurim v'gam yachid mevarech alav, that the Rosh, he's the most lenient, and he says that the individual as well as the Sibur can v'chein noegim v'b'ninat elu. In Poland already, people did make a bracha. So you see already that it's hard to justify making a bracha on a Chanukiah even in shul. It's not clear why we do it. If it's because the people who sleep in shul, well, there are no people sleeping in shul. If it's because it's a minag for Pirsumi Nisa, well, do you make a bracha on a minag? Or do you not make a bracha on a minag? Rosh Chodesh, maybe yes, maybe no, etc. It's not so straightforward, yes.
But the person who makes the bracha in shul will go home and he makes the bracha
good
again.
Just like the man who makes Kiddush in shul on Friday night, makes Kiddush in shul and goes home and makes Kiddush again. Same thing. Because it's not Yotzer. There is another, perhaps, way of looking at the lighting in shul, which the Gra brings in. The Vilna Gaon has a different angle. Look in number 11. Madlikin, says the Vilna Gaon, Raya, he wants to bring a proof, Mehalel, but not Halel Rosh Chodesh, Mehalel the Leile Pesachim. Halel on Leil Pesach, in shul. Shenitkan ala kois, we're going to make Halel later on in Seder night. I know it feels like a long time till Pesach. It's really not actually that long till Pesach. Okay. We make a bracha on Halel and on the coast. We have a break for Agapen on the coast. The Omrim Bebeit HaKnesses Mishum Pirsumei Nisa. Here's a good quiz question. Which two things do you do in shul every year because of Pirsumei Nisa? So everyone's going to get Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, but also saying Halel on Seder night. In shul. Now, of course, many people, Nusach Ashkenaz, do not say Halel in shul. I never said Halel in England in shul on Seder night. There was always a little group of people that stayed behind at the end of the shul, right. You know, who when they sat there, said their little, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, where Minhag Agra is extremely widespread, it is very standard to say Halel in shul on Seder night, okay? And the Gra says the two of them connect together. So maybe, and of course, do we make a bracha in Halel on shul, in shul on Seder night? Do we make a bracha likroi to Halel? Yes, we do. So since forget about Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a complicated issue. But on Halel, we definitely make a bracha on Seder night, and therefore we can do that as well. So I think you've already seen a little bit how this is not such a straightforward issue. There are complications even to make a bracha in shul on the Ner Chanukah. So let's now take that to the public arena. So you're down at the local town hall, and the local Chabad rabbi is going up in his big cherry picker thing, you know, in his big crane, going up to the top, and is about to light the Chanukah candles, the Chanukiah, outside the town hall. Can you make an argument that this is acceptable with a bracha? So, at first sight, you could turn around and say, well, of course, if we see one of the reasons for lighting in shul was Pirsumei Nisa, then this is even more Pirsumei Nisa. You're in the middle of the town square, there are thousands of people watching. There was one particular football game, if I remember, read that there were 70,000 people in the stadium watching them light the Chanukiah. This is Pirsumei Nisa, Mahadrin, Mena Mahadrin, Mena Mahadrin, okay? And therefore you could argue that this was absolutely justifiable. On the other hand, Chazal never mentioned it, and there were times when they could have done this if they wanted to do this. Okay, maybe in Poland in the 16th century was not Shaykh, but they could have instituted this in Eretz Israel in times gone by, but they never did. And you could also even make a counter-argument. If lighting in shul is connected with the fact that we can no longer light properly outside our homes, we have to hide the Chanukiah in the house, so now that we again, in many places, light outside the house, there's less of a reason for lighting public Chanukiahs, maybe on that argument as well. Also, you could argue that there's nothing halachically wrong with light. You can light the Chanukiah anywhere you like. If you don't make a brocha, there's no shailah, what's the problem? You could also raise the question whether hashkafically, socially, politically, it's the right thing or the wrong thing to do to be lighting public Hanukkahs in the middle of New York, Philadelphia, etc. And anyone who was aware of the phenomenon in the 70s and 80s when it first started, of course, the Rebbe was very, very vehement that this was a positive thing. I brought a quote here. He put in footnote 18, he says, it's been an inspiration to many, many Jews, evoked in them a spirit of identity with their Jewish people. To many others, it's brought a sense of pride in their Yiddish guide. And I think most people who have witnessed this would agree with this. I can't speak for you, but there are many people indeed who feel a sense of Jewish solidarity, especially at this time of year when this place is full of Christmas trees, Christmas music, Christmas gifts. I've just come back from America, believe me, it's like crazy, as you probably know and remember. It's nice for Jewish people who might not associate so much with Christmas, even though actually going back not that far, there were more than a few Jewish people who had Christmas trees in the house as well. But it might be nice for people to identify with that in a certain way. Having said that, I'm sure you will also be aware that as the Chabad movement started the public Hanukkah lighting, there was a reaction, quite a strong reaction, from many Jews in America who actually took this to court and said this was an infringement of the U.S. Constitution because it was mixing church and state and using public land in order to have religious ceremonies. And this was actually taken through in many cases. In 1989, the U.S. Supreme Court made a ruling that an 18-foot menorah in Pittsburgh was not in breach of the U.S. Constitution. Instead, it's simply a secular symbol which was part of the winter holiday season. Okay? So the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that a public Hanukkah is a secular symbol. So you can see even hashgraphically there is a debate about how that works. But what about making a brocha? The Supreme Court, as far as I'm aware, did not rule about making a brocha or not making a brocha. But Baruch Hashem and Lahavdil, many of our great poskim have. Let's have a look first at those against. Because those against actually outnumber those four. Have a look in page number four. Let's look at three tshuvas. One from the Minchas Yitzchak, Yav Yitzchak Weiss of Manchester, and then at the Eidach HaRedis, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, and then the Shevet Alevi, Rav Vozna. Let's have a look together, number 12. Should we be making a broch on Neros Chanukah, number 12, everyone's gathered together, including the youth. We'll see whether that's good or bad in a minute. That's our shay. Look what he says. Hine, kama dachaku rabbeinu limtzot tam al brocha zah b'beit haKnesset. He says, first of all, look how difficult it has been for us to justify even making a brocha in shul. We saw some of the to and the fro on that. How can we make a brocha on a Chanukah in shul? K'mavor b'tshuvas harivash, and he quotes the Rivash, b'tshuvas chacham tzvi. Eich yale al adas. How could you even imagine? L'chadesh ma'atzmenu ma'shelo sharu avoteinu. To start bringing in something that no one ever said, like the chutzpah, to make a brocha on a Chanukah in the town square. When it's not even so clear, we do make a brocha in shul, yes, the Shulchan Aruch says, but it's not as so clear how we do. So we would never agree to do that. Over Yoisa al Ikram shel Asifas Ka'elah, especially on public mixed gatherings like this, Ein Ruach HaChamim Nochem, and he says, I don't even like the fact that all the youth are gathered together for the public gathering at all. It's a separate issue. Of course, the Rebbe would see it the other way around. He'd say, La'efach, we want the youth to be there. These are youth who are not going to be anywhere else. We want them gathered together. Where do you want them to gather? At a non-Jewish event? Let them gather at the Chanukah lighting. Rav Weiss is not happy. He's not happy with the gathering, and he's certainly not happy with the brocha. Rav Waldenberg, similarly, number 13, Mutar Levarech al Hadlakas Neros Chanukah for Misiba. He's really talking about at a party. And then he brings, from 1981, this tshuva. Barur hadavar. He's not in any doubt. Barur hadavar. She'ein levarech. You can't make a brocha. At a party, at a wedding, at a Chanukah, in public. Upukhazi kamadiyot. Look how much ink. Nishbuchu bekesh and the mina aglaka has been spilt over the question of whether you can make a brocha even in shul. The Eich She'ev Shel Levarech HaKach, and how we can even do such a thing in Shul, Kama Migdoli Doris Hikpidu, the Emesh Shel Levarech Al Adlakah B'Beit HaKnesset, and he goes on to say that there were many people who actively opposed even making a bracha in Shul on a Hadlakah's Neiros. Hagam Shel Amaseh Kein Levarech in K'psak HaShulchan Aruch, even though of course we do make a bracha in Shul, that's settled. Al Kein Barur Pashut, now it's Barur and Pashut. We cannot make a brocha outside shul. You have to stop this. You have to make it you have to get rid of the minhag. Mavarech bracha lebatala. If you make a bracha, you're breaking the third commandment, yes or no, depending on how you pass him, but it's certainly offer. And the more you can stop this from happening, the more schar you'll get for stopping people making a bracha levatala. It's not a public kiddush Hashem, it's a public chilul Hashem in the sense that you're breaking this very serious issa, and therefore you mustn't make a bracha. Very clear, no question. Rav Vosna, number 14, just pick it up, maybe on the third line, I don't want to read the whole thing. He says, the imken ulai lo nitya said, at the end of the third line, it could be that we have no minag, ha minag, rakbabet akneset, only in the shul, not outside the shul. The yesh bezeh dimyon lahadlokas menorah b'mikdash. Like we said, the shul is more like the Beit HaMikdash. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia is no remez to the Beit HaMikdash. The ikka bezeh zechel ha-mikdash. The kevan she'ein nidon didan duma domer legamrei, ein b'kochein lehosif. And since lighting in the town square is not like the Beit HaMikdash, we cannot add to the minag. But he gives you throws you a little string out there, a little rope. It says, V'yadati gam yadati shehayu medinoiz shehayu mevarachim emesivos keila. I know that there are places that they do make a brocha, and we'll get to that soon. Aval mi yodea im ruach hachamim nochei mehem. I'm not sure, he says. It's for him, it's less baror pashut, but he doesn't like it. I'm not sure if this is the right thing to do. I think it's the wrong thing to do. So Rav Vosna also says he doesn't agree with it. Rav Moshe Sternbuch clearly paskens that even if you have a temporary minion there, even if you daven mariv there, that doesn't make it a beta knesset. You cannot light, for example, at a wedding, you cannot light with a brocha, a chanukiah with a brocha. Only you need a permanent minion in shul. A little bit like, remember, we have another minag on Friday night, which is a bit strange. Me'ein Sheva, the minag of Magin Avot. We say the whole thing, Magin Avot, and we make a brocha at the end, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbat. So why did they bring that in like a mini Chazarat HaShat? So they originally brought that in because the shuls that were in the fields were a long way out, and therefore they were worried on Shabbos. Of course, people are there. They don't want people who take a long time to daven Shmona Esrei to be left on their own when everybody else is gone, and they'd have to walk home in the dark to a dangerous field. So they lengthened the service on Friday night in order to help the slow daveners catch up to the rest of the minyan. Now, today, do we still do this? The answer is yes, we still do, but only in a permanent shul, like Rav Sternbuch says. If you put together a minyan in your house for Friday night, you daven Friday night davening, but you don't say Magen Avot. That's halacha, because it's not a shul. So too, you can't just make a minyan and say that it's a shul for Hadlokas Neret. Not so poshut, he says that, but on Hallel, on Seder night, we do say, even with a temporary minyan, but he doesn't like you to light candles. Others who say you can't make a bracha include Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, although I brought you in the footnote, there's a machlokas about what he said. Some people say he said not to. Chabad say he said yes to. So you can look it up as to where they're getting it from. Rav Soloveitchik, I wish Rabbi Ziegler was here. He would be able to, maybe other people here can also comment on that. Rav Soloveitchik, it is said, was not happy with the practice of lighting at public functions. I brought you a source there from Harei Kedem. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky didn't like it. Rav Eliashiv didn't like it. Therefore, the number of those against clearly outweighs the number of those in favor. So where are the people in favor coming from? So let's go on to page number 5. This is where the plot thickens. Because if you remember, the Shulchan Aruch said that the first reason he gave for lighting in shul, he quoted the Kolbon. What's the reason he gave? He said, because there are people who live in the shul, and they don't have anywhere else to light, so we can light in the shul for those people. If you look at the actual wording of the Kolbo, it's not clear whether he had exactly the same version of the Kolbo, but that's not what the Kolbo actually says, at least in the version that we have today. What does the Kolbo actually say, number 15 here? Look, the Nagu Kolam HaKoymet Zahad Lignei Chanukah B'Beit HaKnesset, there is a minhag to light in shul, but he doesn't mention the guests. Lahoitzi, because that fulfills the mitzvah of Misha Einu Baki, someone who's not Baki, someone who doesn't know how, V'she'enu zariz b'zot, and someone who is not motivated, someone who didn't bother. Says the Kolbo, if there are people who don't bother or people who don't know, so they can be yotzi with the public lighting in shul. Whoa, well that's changed everything. It's nothing to do with the people who are sleeping there. It's all about people who are not lighting for any other reason. And then now you already see, you can see from this to start with, how Chabad are going to take this Kolbo and are going to say, well look, Now we have a matzav, we have a situation where thousands and hundreds of thousands of Jews are not, if they don't know how, or they're not able, or they're not motivated for whatever reason, they can come to a public Hanukkah lighting, at least in a shul, and maybe even outside a shul, and be yotzei somehow the mitzvah of Hanukkah licht, which is very interesting. By the way, it won't help us at a frum wedding. If you want to light Hanukkah candles at a frum wedding when everybody, the people there are lighting at home and they are motivated, so we won't help you with that. But maybe we'll help you with the public outreach angle. And indeed, the Av Nidbaru, Rav Binyamin Silver, who was a very chosh of a poisek on the Moses Gedolei HaTorah here, he died about 10 years ago. If you look here in number 16 and 17, I brought you two extracts from his tshuvas. Aval benidon shemadlikim bekikar ha'ir. What about lighting in the town square? Number 16. V'ha'ikahu bishvil ha'noar. It's for the youth. It's for the kids. The probability is, he says, most of these kids never went to shul for Maariv, for light, and see, they didn't see it in shul. And even if you say that they yotze if their parents are lighting at home because they're part of the household, and me'ikah hadin, one candle for the home, it's fine. But there's still a mahadrin that everyone should have their own Hanukkah light. So what about these kids? And he says clearly, you can make a brocha in the town square without any question at all. Very interesting. Rav Votna was borrowed that, it wasn't Rav Votna, who was it that was borrowed? Tit Eliezer was borrower that you cannot make a brocha. He's borrower that you can make a brocha. He's clear that you can make a brocha. The Adit Mi Beis HaKnesses is even better than Shul. Kevin Shizeh B'chutz Mamash. This is really Pritzum. This is real Pritzum Inisa. The Ashikas for Oitam Imad HaLokas Beis HaKnesses, even though they wrote other reasons about lighting in Shul, the guests, etc. Ika HaTam Hu Mishum Pritzum Inisa Shal HaLokas B'chutz. So he himself says very clearly you can make a brocha lighting outside. In number 17, he takes that, he goes to the next stage and he says he's nervous about extending it beyond that. What about other public places? Even though I've said that you can light in public places, I don't want to tell you can light everywhere. He says, the town square, I will go. Not every wedding and every bar mitzvah. He says, that I don't think. It's not really coming from a minag of the shul. And he says a chiddush here, very interesting. When Chazal brought in the original mitzvah of Hanukkah light, where did we have to light Hanukkah? Light outside the house. It says, now that we light them inside the house, there's an element that we haven't fully fulfilled the real original takana of it being facing out. The hamadlikim bifnim, people who light in the house, adayin yesh alav chovat adlaka b'chutz. This is a very big chiddush. That he says, even if you light inside the house, if you can do something that's more public as well, there's an extra level of obligation. Even according to the Rishonim that say that your yotzei, you are fulfilling the mitzvah by lighting in the room with the curtains closed, there's still a residual element of the mitzvah of lighting outside, and for the people who are not able to light outside, a town square will do that for them. So he clearly says, and as I said before, Chabad clearly rules on this, that there's a justification for making a brocha outside, on an outside Hanukkah. And as far as I'm aware, wherever I've ever been, and Chabad are lighting a public menorah, they light there with a brocha. Interestingly, and surprisingly, one of the people who is favorable to lighting with a brocha is Rav Avadi Yosef. Now, Rav Avadi Yosef, of course, is a Sephardi posek, and for him, a brocha levatola, the Ashkenazim paskin that a brocha levatola is very negative, very bad, but it's not a breach of the third commandment. It's not actually a doraisa. So Stanley, if I walk into the room here and just get inspired and say, Baruch, with the shame of Malchus, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, She'akol Niyeh Bidvaro. I'm so excited, I just want to say everything comes from Hashem. So the Ashkenazim paskin, look, that's not right. You just made a brocha without needing to. At least have a cup of water. But it's not a brocha levatola. It's something which is positive. It's ofsa. But at least it's not positive, but it's not as bad. The Sfarim say, no, forget it. Every time you make a brocha levatzala, it's an issa d'oraita and a breach of the third commandment. So you would have thought Rav Avadi would be at the vanguard of those who are trying to... Interestingly, he's not. He says here that there is a justification for it. Pick it up a little bit on the, let's have a look here, number 18. Behine ra'iti here, malachim midayonim. I've seen many of the major dayonim, mirabanei hadoreinu, from the rabbis of the generation, hadot mesivat hanerachot ve'ulam mitmachot. I've seen many parties and they put them together in halls. Ve'leile Chanukah im hamon chogeg, and there are many people celebrating. U'mashmim behem divrei Torah, and they say Torah. U'musa lekarev et Yisrael atzura machzavtam. Ha'im rishayim lahadlik sham nerot Chanukah brachot. Are you allowed to make a bracha on a Chanukah in a party? Mishum pirsum inisa. Devarech al Hashem b'makelot, and to make a bracha in public, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, that reference for the shul. K'mo shepasha d'minik hazeh b'beit haKnesset. Oh, shema nema. Or is it just enough to do it in shul, shehu mikdash ma'at, etc.? Look at what he says. And he says at the end of that, first paragraph, v'roi rabbanei doreinu sovrim kesvara achrona. Most people hold that you can't do it. The sheva al tase adif, better not to make the bracha. Look at what he says on the fourth line up from the bottom. Ulam, nevertheless, the Sefer Mishnah Yaakov, he quotes the Sefer there, Kasav Levorech, that you can make a bracha, Kipamim Rabot, because it happens many times, Hapirsum B'Mesibot Eileh, that the kind of publicization of these gatherings, Gadol B'Yoter, is very, very significant, Afilu Min Hapirsum Shel Beit HaKnesset Mehakal, B'Rov HaNoah L'Sham, B'Rov HaNahor L'Sham, and even bigger than lighting there in the shul, okay, Achrei Hodeh Hashem Utanu Et Kol Anitkar Leel, the use of Divrei Maran Hashulchan Aruch, etc. Nir Shehanogim Lebarech Al Adlokas Neret Chanukah B'Mitzvot Ke'elu. He thinks that people who make a bracha on this public lighting, Yesh Lahem Alma Shiyismuchu, they have on whom to rely. Kevan Sheyesh B'Zeh Mishum Pristum Inisa Uma Tov Lehitpalel Sham Tfilas Arabes. You know, saying, I give you a piece of eight and eight, sir. He says, Daven Mariv there. If you daven Mariv there, then it becomes something of a shul, even though we saw Rav Moshe Sternbuch said it won't really help. The Rav Avadi thinks it will actually help to have tefillat arevus betibul miyad la'achah adloka or kafisha noigim b'batei knesset. In the psak that's brought down by Rav Avadi Yosef's followers and his son, etc., they bring this psak down that it's good to daven Mariv. Some say you really should daven Mariv, but it sounds from him that Mariv is, if you like, a bonus, and it's not absolutely necessary. But he clearly says there that you can make a brocha, you have on whom to rely to make a brocha. So I think it's clear to say that there are really dayas, big people on both sides of this debate. There are a large number of people who say you can't make a brocha. There are significant people who say you can make a brocha. Rav Aryeh Leibovitz has a piece on this. I brought you in the footnotes various other references to other places. He cites a rather sort of begrudging justification of Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter says, you know something? Rav Shechter, it probably is a brocha levatola to make a brocha on a public hanukkah, which, let's face it, is the way that many of the poskim pasken. But you know something? You're allowed to make a brocha levatola to teach people how to make brochas. So maybe there's a kind of a chinuch aspect going on that people don't know how to light a chanukiah, so you light in the middle of town. I'm sure that the chabadnikim would not be happy with that reasoning. Shkreich, he says you can, but that's not the reason. They say you can because it is a major pirsum inisa, and I brought you some references here to Chabad Psak on their website, etc. There are two other angles that I want to bring just before we finish, which are very interesting. The first one is Shalom Malchus. Meaning, what about lighting in the White House? What's the deal like? Or lighting in 10 Downing Street? Should we be making a brocha there for the Prime Minister, for the President, etc.? Well, this was before Hanukkah. Right, right.
The brocha be in front of
Oh, right, so you didn't say Hashem's name. But you know something, in 10 Downing Street, you can get away without saying Hashem's name. They won't realize. In today's White House, there's going to be there's 5 people who live in the White House that know how to say Brochot. So the question is, can you or can't you? So I brought you an interesting angle here, which is Shalom Malchus. The Magen Avraham Paskens, in number 19, here, Mashma Ktaf, it sounds a little bit from the Gemara in Gittin, the Maaseh de Bar Kamsa. Remember the whole story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, where they wanted to bring a korban, and they wouldn't bring the korban because it was invalid, etc., and they didn't want to bring an invalid korban. And from that started the whole, or that was one of the triggers, if you like, that brought the whole korban by sheni. It says, it's mashma shemutal avor aloy tase. You can even break a loy tase, you can even break a Torah prohibition, mipnei eimat hamalchut. Because you're frightened that if you don't, what will the authorities think? Which is interesting, because then, even if you turn around and said, look, there's no justification, if you said that, for making a bracha in the White House, it could be that eimat hamalchut would work. Now, then that raises the interesting question these days of what's malchus and what's not malchus. Meaning back in the days when life and death was in the hands of the king, that was a different thing. Today you could argue it's democracy, or you could argue, you know something, today's rulers also are fickle, unpredictable, and it's good to have them on side, and you don't know what they're going to say if they find out that you're not doing it right, and I think that's true as we see in the world that we live in, a very strange political environment around us. The truth is, at the White House, there's a better aether still. Just admire it. Like Rav Avadia Yosef says, you've probably got a minion there anyway, even before any of the Jews arrive. So you can daven Maariv there as well. Maybe that would help. If it's not Hanukkah, I don't see how it would help. But there is an element of Shalom Malchus. And the last thing I want to just pick up on is an interesting question on Pirsumei Nisa. Pirsumei Nisa for whom? Is it just for Jews, or is there actually an angle on reaching out and publicizing the Hanukkah miracles to the non-Jewish world as well? And there's no question that Chabad, as a motivating factor when they're lighting the Hanukkahs, it's for the non-affiliating Jews that are there. And I've not spoken to Chabadnikim, and I couldn't find anything written on it, but it wouldn't surprise me if there's also an angle that there is a Pirsumei Nisa there for the non-Jewish world, because the Rebbe was very keen on spreading Torah in a sense of Sheva Mitzvahs, B'nai Noach, to the non-Jewish world as well. Actually more keen than many others in the Chabad movement were. That was a bit of a tension whether they should be focusing in any way on the non-Jewish world. The Rebbe felt that they should. But the question is whether there is or whether there isn't such a thing as Pirsumei Nisa for the non-Jews. And I brought you two perspectives on this. The perspective number one is the Igros Moshe. The Igros Moshe is dealing with the question as to what happens if a Jew is traveling on Hanukkah and they need to light candles in an inn or something like that, and the only other people there are non-Jews. And since one of the elements, and they're staying there, they're living there, is there a Pirsumei Nisa angle there? Look what Rav Moshe says here. Truth is, today on planes and everything, there's all sorts of shilas. Obviously, they won't let you light candles or oil lamps on a plane, but should you be taking like a flashlight or get one of these, you know, handy-dandy new Somet electric Hanukkahs, you can get electric Hanukkahs. Does that work? Does that not work? Is it better than nothing on a cruise, etc., etc.? But he says here, back in the day before they had electrical gadgets, number 20, Rav Moshe says the following, HaMitzvah Shehu Bishvil HaNeis, Gam B'Yachid, Avkesha Leika Pirsum. There's a mitzvah even on an individual to light candles, even for themselves, even when there's nobody else watching. Ulechein Avkesha Echad Nimtze B'Mokam Shaleika Shum Ish, Tarech La'adlik Bracha. And therefore, even if you're caught, if you find yourself in a place where there's not a soul around, just you, and you're living there for the night, you have to light, and you have to light with a bracha. V'nirish is deu mashikos of Hashilte Giborim, and he quotes Hashilte Giborim, al hada achsanai, on the case of someone staying at an inn, shinira be'einav she'im haya oimed bein hanochrim. And the question is, if you're standing there surrounded by non-Jews, afal pi she'ein lo bayit la'atzmo, and you don't have your own room, you have to light there with all the non-Jews watching you in the inn, the lo petach la'atzmo, you haven't got your own courtyard, etc. Chayv la'adlik, Shilti Giborim says there, you have to light ne'er la'atzmo, afal pishe ishtoi madlekit babeito, even though your wife might be lighting back in the house, you're traveling. I was traveling this week, I just got back before Hanukkah, but there are many people traveling on Hanukkah, you have to light in front of the non-Jewish crowd, no question. Upirsum dehanochrim, what about, you could say, well, there's a pirsum, there's a publicized for the non-Jewish people there. Loi mistamashi itchashev pirsum. That's not called a pirsum, says Rav Moshe. We call makom mechayva lahadlik. He has to light for himself, not because of the non-Jewish people around him. Who lafiani asaiti barur, it is very clear, kachakati avshe leka gam nochrim, whether there are non-Jews, it's irrelevant. De pirsum hanochrim einu klum. There's nothing. It's nothing. The publicization to a non-Jewish audience is irrelevant to the mitzvah. Dezehu chazin mepshitas v'sefer chemed Moshe. And he quotes the Sfarim on this as well. So Rav Moshe Feinstein is very, very clear that there is no such thing as pritzumei nisa to the non-Jewish world. However, others indicate otherwise. There is a sefer in the Rishonim called Sefer HaNiyar, and I brought you some sources for another article on this at the bottom. And there is a posik which maybe we can end with, which is a posik in Yechezkel, fascinating posik, a beautiful posik on which we base, of course, our Kaddish. And he says there, Yechezkel says, Vehit Kadalti, Vehit Kadishti, okay, make great and sanctified, and I will be known and sanctified, V'nodati le'ein goyim rabim, says Hashem, I will be known amongst many, many goyim. V'yadu ki ani Hashem. They will know that I am Hashem. So this idea here, v'hit kadilti, this idea of God will be elevated and sanctified, not just for the Jewish people, but ene goyim rabim, in the eyes of many other nations, may be based at least on the pshat, maybe not the halacha, but on the pshat based on that posik, there is clearly an Indian idea of pirsumei nisa to the non-Jewish world as well. And Chanukah now is a very public holiday. You know, Macy's, they have the Christmas tree, they have the Chanukah. That's how it works. And therefore, for all of these reasons, it could be that the public downtown Chanukah has a very specific place in the Jewish year. And there are views on which you can rely if you're asked to light the Chanukah in Washington D.C. next year, whatever, with a bracha, then you'll be able to whip out the source sheet and have a look at it. Yes, a couple of questions.
I grew up in Stockholm, Sweden. My father was around there at that time. We were just 6,000 Jews among 6 million Swedes, so we were a very small minority. My parents had immigrated there from Russia, where they lived through a time where you did not publicly observe Hanukkah. They came to Sweden, a small minority like that, so my father was the Orthodox Rav there. They still kept this very, very low profile.
Quiet, yes.
And I remember that as a child, all the children in the school and everybody was celebrating their holiday, and I never really shared much about Hanukkah.
And
then I went back there in 2006.
And they have now a Hanukkah?
They had a huge, huge...
That's exactly what we're saying there.
An ice menorah.
See, there we have the ice menorah in Sweden.
Across the
heard it here.
Royal Palace.
Right.
And the music was playing, and they made the bracha, and I felt such enormous pride in openly being Jewish.
Right, I hear that.
And if they hadn't done that, I mean, it was just like a miracle. That really was a miracle.
The next year in Sweden, okay? Please God, in Stockholm. We need to finish now, but thank you very much. Next week, please God, we'll continue with other ideas.
If you're a little bit old, so why can't you? Why can't you?